everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the CCHA Show. On this week's episode, I sit down with Connor McGrath, freshman forward for Ferris State, who was the CCHA Rookie of the Week after picking up 3 points on the weekend against Michigan Tech and Western Michigan. I then have a chat with second-year head coach at the University of St. Thomas, Rico Blasi, whose Tommies picked up a big win on Saturday, their first of the year, beating Alaska in overtime. Hope you enjoy the show. All right, joining me now on the CCHA Show is Connor McGrath, freshman forward for the Ferris State Bulldogs. And Connor, thanks for taking a few minutes of your day here to talk to us.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks a lot for having me.
Connor, the CCHA Rookie of the Week this week, 2 goals and an assist over the weekend. A couple of ranked teams came to town, to Big Rapids there, and you were able to get a couple of goals, including your first career point on Friday and in your first career goal, and 2 of them, including a power play goal. You're from Leroy, Saskatchewan. Tell me a little bit about your background and growing up there.
Yeah, Leroy is obviously a smaller town, not many people around there, so it's pretty rural. So used to drive into the rink, getting up early mornings and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, a lot of my just go out to the rink and have a good time with my friends and stuff like that. It's a big thing because the rinks are always pretty open. So you just go out and mess around with your friends for a while. So that was always nice. And yeah, smaller province. It's a little bit different than Michigan here, a lot more trees, but yeah, it's fun. I love it back home there. It's a pretty cool spot.
So you're saying you guys went to the rink usually. Was there not a lot of pond hockey going on, or is a little bit of both?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, we in the wintertime, we get on the outdoor rinks and have some fun there. And then also like in indoor rinks, there's lots of free ice around because it's just such small town. So you can get on the ice whenever you want. So that's always good.
That is a plus there. Mm-hmm. For folks that don't know, Leroy is about halfway between Edmonton and Winnipeg, which if you're at all familiar with the Canadian geography, there aren't the same province as you. So as far as NHL teams, where do people from Saskatchewan generally lean?
It differs a little bit there. Like lots of guys are Winnipeg, like the southern guys are Winnipeg. And then up where I am is a lot of Calgary, a lot of Edmonton. So there's some, me and my buddies got some rivalries there with those two teams. So, yeah.
What's that make you, Calgary?
No, I'm an Oilers fan.
You're an Oilers
fan.
Big-time
Oilers fan. Yeah.
Oilers it's easy fan. To be with McDavid there right now, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm told, Harrison told me you grew up on a farm. Is that true? Like, what kind of farm are we talking?
Yeah, my dad has a grain farm out there. So, yeah, I grew up on a grain farm there.
Very cool. Any animals, too, or just?
We have, like, couple pig barns that aren't associated with the farm really, but yeah, we have some pigs as well, so okay. He works on that too as well, so yeah.
Okay I'm just trying to get a little grasp of where you're coming from.
So
your neighbors are pretty spread out, is that the case or no?
Yeah, there's not many. I live like half a mile from the town. There's about 300 people in the town of Leroy, so there's not too many people around, but I got some cousins that aren't too far away and some family, so we just get together and have some fun, hang out once in a while, so yeah. Yeah, not too many people around, but yeah.
What kind of skills could you practice on your home lot there?
Yeah, so the town of Leroy, they have a small rink there and stuff like that. So we just, me and my one friend, we always go out there, and we have, his dad has some like some Power Edge Pro training. So that's like a big skills development platform. So we go out to Leroy whenever we can, and we work on that kind of stuff, which is really good, really awesome.
And looking at some of your history playing AA and juniors, you played for Humboldt, and you were actually on a AA team, affiliated a little bit with Broncos back in the time of the bus crash happened up there, up north, actually, from there. But, you know, you were 15 when it happened. How did that affect you and your teammates on your AA team?
Yeah, obviously that came as a huge shock. We were a couple of us were out to supper at a camper practice, one of the others. So when we got to heard the news, it was obviously a big shock, and the whole community of Humboldt the world stopped there for a while.
Right.
So yeah, it was pretty devastating. And then obviously playing in Humboldt for that same team in a couple of years past, it was pretty huge. Like it's a great organization, just like a terrible accident, freak accident. But yeah, it was a really great experience playing there and being a part of that organization later on, which is really good.
Did that event, you know, change you as a person or as a hockey player at all when it happened? You were young, right? You were 15, but it could still have an impact on you.
Yeah. Looking back, I just think like, you can't take any days for granted. Like you got to go to the rink and just be prepared prepare for every day. Like it's your last, cause you never know when that time will come. So yeah. So just definitely not taking any days for granted, going out there and having a good time and working your hardest every time.
How did it feel? And you kind of mentioned this a little bit, but how did it feel to have seemingly the entire world of hockey community rally around the Broncos at the time?
Yeah, that was really good. That was really nice. I remember going to a couple of those ceremonies and stuff and seeing some big names there and stuff like that and showing their support for the community, and everybody just kind of rallied around Humboldt and lifted us and lifted the community up, which is really great to see.
Yeah, I mean, it unfortunately kind of put Humboldt on the map as far as like everyone kind of figured out where they were and the kind of, you know, situation, and it was obviously tragic to see, but at the same time, you know, those kind of things can really bring a community together, and the hockey community, I think, is you kind of put just, you know, did the best what they could with the situation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, it definitely brought lots of attention to Humboldt, but obviously, unfortunately, not in like the right way, like right. The way you want it. But yeah, it was good to see everybody. Like, it just shows how big the hockey community is, right? Like everybody around the world just seems to know about Humboldt now and all that and what happened and all that stuff, which is like, it's huge, because that just shows how much the support there was for the community and the organization.
And I saw I remember when they changed the logo a little bit to the Bronco horse on it, and it's, you know, it really kind of, I think it was a great gesture that was made. It says "We play for them" on it, and it was a really obviously a thing that's you had a chance to actually do that and put the jersey on, and I'm sure that meant a lot to you.
Yeah, like for sure, that's one of the main things we preached every day, every time we went to the rink to practice, every time we put the jersey and that logo on, and yeah, definitely play for them every night, and yeah, just play for them all the time and always thinking of them. So.
Moving, you know, to your season there, obviously you had a great year. You were the CGHL top forward last season, 84 points in 56 games is quite an accomplishment for you there. What was working for you on that last season for you that you had so much success?
Yeah, I think just like our team really gelled together last year really well. Like we had a really, really strong group of guys, and we got along really well off the ice, which always helps. And it definitely boosts like chemistry, team chemistry, line chemistry, all that kind of stuff. And that helps a lot. And having a good connection with the coaches and having trust in me and confidence in me really helps me help boost me throughout the year too, which is really good for my game.
When did you first hear of Ferris State? And then when did you first think that playing college hockey could be a reality for you?
Yeah, I actually first heard of Ferris State. There was one guy back a couple of years from Leroy actually that played for Ferris State. So I knew like that was one of the first schools that I actually ever heard of. And then it came to reality that I had a chance to maybe play college hockey at a good level, at Division I level. I was always a dream of mine since I was a little kid. But when I first realized that I could potentially fulfill that dream, I was probably around 15, 16. So yeah, that was really cool.
And so Ferris, so you heard of Ferris previously and you said, that's one of the schools I want to at least take a look at, right? Mm-hmm. You got a chance to visit, of course. You know, what was about the campus or the team that made it to, you know, place you decided you wanted to go?
Yeah, obviously looking at the team, they have the right mentality. Like we want to win. We want to put ourselves in positions to win every single night. And just, and it's also off the ice. It's a smaller, not a huge city, which is kind of what I'm used to. It's a smaller community, which I really like. So yeah, it's been really good so far. I'm really enjoying my time here.
You got a first road trip going. You guys went down to Miami. That's a cool barn. I've been there before. You know, how did that kind of differ from juniors road trips, and what did you kind of take away from your first NCAA roadie?
Yeah, it's obviously a little bit longer of a bus trip than I'm used to back in Saskatchewan there, but it was a lot of fun. We had a good time, and obviously Miami had a really good crowd both nights, so it was pretty loud rink. It was pretty electric, and yeah, it was probably the Friday night, their home opener, was definitely the most fun game I've played in my life. So yeah, it was a really good experience.
Guys going to go to a shootout, and that one able to win the shootout there. You know, what did last year, you know, playing in the SJHL prepare you for as far as the speed and the size of NCAA hockey? And was that a good step for you to make it onto the college game?
Yeah, obviously, the Saskatchewan League there, it's pretty good. In recent years, it's growing better. Like, the players are a lot better, more skilled. The games are a lot more skilled than the, back in the day. But, yeah, obviously, the league was a lot of grown men out there. So it helped me realize how much stronger and bigger I have to get to be really successful down here and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a pretty fast paced game. And especially when you're playing against those top teams, and it's a good competitive game. So.
You got a chance to, you know, play at home last weekend. I'm sure that was a lot of fun. What was your first impression of the home crowd at Ferris?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, like, the band was really good. The student section was really loud. Everybody was cheering. It was a pretty loud rink. So it was a lot of fun for me. I had a good time. The crowd was awesome.
Was it a relief to score your first goal there?
Yeah, obviously scoring the first goal really feels really good. And I think it's huge for your confidence to do it early on in the season. So yeah, that was awesome. That was a pretty big weight off the shoulders for sure.
And then how would you describe your style to some hockey fan that maybe hasn't seen you play yet?
Comparing myself to an NHL player, I'd sure. have to say probably I play similar to Johnny Gaudreau. I play fast. I'm a skilled forward. I'm not a big guy. So I play smart. I'm a smart hockey player, and I play to my strengths, obviously. So I'm a skilled, fast forward. And okay. I try to think I'm improving my 200-foot game as well. So
just like Johnny Hockey.
Yeah.
He just got a big deal at Columbus there. So he's out of Calgary, huh?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Don't got to worry about him now.
At least most of the time up there. You were able to, you know, getting some power play minutes already as a freshman. Does that kind of give you confidence that the coaching staff is putting you in that position already?
Yeah, for sure. That definitely having the trust from my coaches really helps me confidence wise. And it really shows that they believe in me, and it helps me for sure on the ice to play my game.
What are some early lessons you've learned from practice, from games, and from, you know, talking to some upperclassmen who've done this all before?
Yeah, it's a tough league for sure. It's never an easy win any night. So you got to go out there and earn it every single night. You got to play a full 60, and you got to be prepared to do everything necessary to get the win. So yeah.
You guys kind of learned that the hard way on Saturday a little bit.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We fortunately didn't play a full 60, and we paid for it. So
yeah, it's good to get those out of the way before conference
season. Yeah, exactly. Starts. Yeah.
You guys get a chance to defend home ice again this weekend. Canisius comes to town. How excited do you get back out there after the kind of, you know, you had some success this last weekend here individually, and, you know, and you got the split at least as a team.
Yeah. I think as a group, we got to look at the positives from last weekend. You know, we battled hard both nights. We played a fast game. We played a physical game, and we unfortunately didn't win on Saturday night, but that happens. Can't win them all. So yeah, I think we just got to build off last weekend, focus on the good things, and come to practice this week and just focus on getting a little bit better each and every day and get ready for this weekend and hopefully get the home ice sweep.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goalie. Score!
Kale McCarr. Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me!
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
All right, joining me now on the CCHA show is St. Thomas head coach Rico Blasi. Rico, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your day today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rico, I have to ask you, as a native Minnesotan myself, how has the state treated you so far in your couple of years there?
Oh, it's been great. We love it here. St. Paul's awesome. The university's been very supportive, and the people have been great. You know, Minnesota nice is a real thing.
I believe it. I'll stand by that as well. Going back to your roots, obviously you played for Miami, coached there for 20 years, but I want to ask you, how much of what you do today and you think about now, what you learned from Coach Gwozdecki and your staff and your coaches when you were a player?
Well, for sure. I mean, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for George and work for George. So a lot of what we do today has a little bit of his fingerprints on it. You know, and then I think when you add the people on the staff that I was able to play for and work with, you know, at Miami, we had Steve Miller and Bob Motzko were our two assistant coaches. Pretty good coaches themselves to learn from and to play for. And so that was a really important time, as I didn't know I was going to become a coach, but knowing how they went about their business and the way they communicated with us players is something that I still still think about, and something that I learned from them. So, you know, Gwozdecki, Motzko, Miller, that's pretty good. And then obviously working for George, like I said earlier, but I got a chance to learn the recruiting side of things and how to do that from Steve Miller, who's obviously at the U now with Bob Motzko. So, you know, I remember trying to be a sponge in those years, and I still use some of those lessons you know, I think they're lessons that are true no matter what year you're working at. You want to be in good relationships with your players and fight for your players, be honest with your players, be open, be vulnerable, be yourself. And you know, I think those are trademarks of what I would call good coaching and trying to be a good person.
Gwoz went on to Denver, and you were able to take over that, obviously, that job at your alma mater. You were there for 20 years. How special was it from the beginning to be able to be able to do that? Kind of a dream for a lot of players that want to be coaches, to coach at their alma mater too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was great. We did a lot of things at Miami over 20 years. I think looking back, taking over at 27 wasn't exactly, I don't know if I really knew what I was doing, but probably shouldn't say that. Some of the players might be listening, but you know, it was a tough time. Miami at the time was not a program solidified in terms of budgets and things like that. And I think I was sixth choice for the job. But it was my alma mater, and so it was an exciting time for us. We, like I said, I think we did a lot of good things. We're very proud of all the players that came through there, all the staff members. We had a really good run, and I'm proud of that. And we're excited about our next chapter.
Miami is known as the cradle of coaches for a number of reasons, mostly football coaches, right? But George is in there as well. And do you feel? Is there something about the water in Oxford, or what is it that can produce so many top quality coaches that have gone on to the NFL and George and things like that?
Certainly, I think maybe the water by the football stadium is pretty good. You got a couple of Super Bowl champions, recent champions that are Miami grads, and
McVay,
and you know, dating back to Eric Parsegian and Bo Schembechler and Randy Walker and Terry Heppner and good friend of mine now, Chuck Martin, who's the coach there. So football has their tradition. It's still very strong today. And, you know, the hockey side of it is not as old as the football tradition. So, you know, as an alum, very proud that George was our coach and that he's in the cradle of coaches. And, you know, that's obviously a great honor for him.
Obviously, back to your program and what we're going to be focusing on for most of this year. But for some reason, I've been in hockey for 20 years now myself, but it always feels like there's a bit of a rush at the beginning of the year. Maybe it's because preseason is a little bit shorter than other sports. But, you know, does it feel like for you that getting, you know, 17 new players acclimated to your program was a little bit more challenging than previous years?
Yeah, it's the last couple of years have been a challenge, I would say. There's really no playbook for what we're doing here. You know, even just taking over a program back in 99 was different because everything was pretty much established and you had academic coordinators and there's marketing people in place and the rink and, you know, there's all the infrastructure was pretty much there. So last year was unique in the fact that we took over a Division III team that had a lot of success. And traditionally we've had a lot of success here at St. Thomas in hockey and a lot of sports. So moving to Division I and having, you know, we kept half of the team was Division III players and we did that on purpose. And it was important to us to have some continuity with what we're trying to build here. And this is not a build that we're rushing. This is not something that we're looking to be, you know, a flash in the pan. We want to be a sustainable program for many, many years. So we have to do this thing right. And that was part of the process last year. And then building out the infrastructure was part of that. The hockey part, to be honest with you, anytime we went to the rink was a fun time for us because we got to do what we love. The other stuff needed to happen though. And, you know, recruiting 12 freshmen and 5 transfers for this year's team, was a challenge in itself. But we needed to do it. We're building up our athletic aid. So we're not quite there yet. We will be in the next couple of years. So we had some challenges in recruiting with scholarships. So Leon Hayward and Corey Leyland did a great job. We were on the road a lot last year. And then we fast forward to the beginning of this year, as you said, it felt like a sprint to the first game. You know, as much as you want a couple more weeks, it was probably enough. We needed to play some games. With such a young team, inexperienced team. I think if you look up games played of teams in the country, we're 53rd. So that's the only way to gain experience is to play games. And we're going to have to do that here to see where we're at. But, you know, we like what we have. We're going to continue to get better. By no means are we even close to where we need to be, but with 17 new guys, it's going to take some time to figure out who's playing with who. And, you know, just the way we work from day to day is probably a little bit different for everybody. And so getting adjusted to that, getting adjusted to the speed, 12 freshmen are coming from different leagues. And then the other side of it, we're still continuing to build out the infrastructure. So, a lot going on but we're excited about where we're at in the process and we'll continue to work extremely hard to continue the momentum.
After your first win on Saturday, just from what I saw, you seem to be, you know, you kept a bit of a tempered outlook. Is that something that you want your team to show as well, that it was an exciting win, it was an overtime win, but you still have obviously work to do in a lot of departments?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go to every game expecting to win. And I thought we'd probably play better Friday night than we did Saturday night. That's a maturity thing and a growth thing. You know, we want to make sure that we're focused on the day at hand and not worried about what's going on next week or what could be. We've got a lot of work to do and we got to do this thing together. And, you know, we were excited about the win. Don't get me wrong. It's an important step in our process. As I've said all week to the media, you know, if you ask me, you know, what kind of growth would you want out of a win or learning lesson out of a win? I would think, you know, as a coach, you want a pretty boring game and you win it and you get out of there. And, but for us in this period, this is the way it has to be. We have to win games from behind and we got to find a way to win in overtime. And that's just because we're growing and you grow the most when you're in uncomfortable situations and adverse situations. And certainly our program is going to be in those situations for the next little while here until we gain experience you know, we get to the point where we now have to learn how to keep winning streaks going. And that's our goal at this point.
You know, Phil Esten, who's the athletic director there, is part of, you know, part of his, not just his, but the program's, the school's athletic kind of dream was to make this move from Division III to Division I. It's never been done before. How much has he had his hand in what you guys are able to do, and how much has he kind of let you do what you know how to do and sort of build a program here?
Well, certainly the reason, one of the biggest reasons why I'm here is because of Dr. Esten. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So his support is really important to us as a program, to me as the head coach. So he knows exactly what we're doing, how we're trying to do it. At the same time, he trusts what we're doing and lets us do our thing. So we have great people here. Jason LaFrenz, who's our administrative, or my administrator, I should say, in hockey, is there hand in hand with me every day. So he knows what's going on. We have a great staff, not just our coaches, but our athletic trainer, Jamie, Jager, our equipment manager, Jamal Barabo. I mean, our volunteer coaches, you know, Zach Richards and Trent Eigner we have a quality group. Our director of hockey ops, Josh Johnson. I mean, we've got the pieces in place, and we're growing together as a staff as well. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, I think Phil's dream for all of us, really, the whole department, is to take the necessary steps for us to be a sustainable Division I program, not just on the field or on the ice or on the court, but in the community, in the classroom. Very much a very holistic approach to everything that we do.
And you guys have been in the Twin Cities for just about the whole year here. Have you had a chance to check out, you know, the football team's having a great start to their year. Soccer teams are playing well. Have you had a chance to check out any other sports so far?
Yeah, and that's the exciting part of everybody doing this together. We all feed off each other. We all go through some tough times together and vent to each other. But it's exciting to see football, and soccer had a big tie with Denver the other day, and basketball's getting going now. And, you know, volleyball has been very competitive this fall. So it's coming. Everybody's going through the same thing. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we have a lot going here at St. Thomas, our academic reputation, beautiful campus. We're in the heart of St. Paul. We've got a lot of good things going.
I just have a couple more for you here, but what gets you excited to get to practice? I know it's a little bit challenging with the rink situation you guys have currently, but what gets you going after, you know, 20 plus years of head coaching here already?
Oh, every day is unique. Every day is different. I mean, you're teaching, you're getting after guys, you're trying to get the most out of each individual, and each individual is different. Some guys you can bark at, some guys you have to love and go with a different approach. But, you know, I said this last week, knowing where we're at right now and where we need to, what we need to do and where we need to make changes and adjust things, is invigorating. It's a challenge. It's fun. I feel like we're all on the same page building this culture that we feel is very special to us. And so, that, you know, that gets you up every morning, that gets the juices flowing. And, you know, just to see the faces of our players when they do something that, maybe they didn't even think they could do. Right. Or they come together and things start to click in practice. And then all of a sudden they're doing it in games. And then you see the faces after a win, like Saturday night. That's why we get up and do what we do.
Was last year's Hockey Day in Minnesota game, was that your first outdoor game?
No, it was my third outdoor game. It was the coldest of the three that I've been associated with. We had a little cold day in Chicago. We played two games at Soldier Field. One of them was sunny and the ice was melting. The other one was a little chilly. But the one that we had last year was as cold as I've ever felt in my body. And the snow, you know, the snow started off one direction, then it moved another direction, And then we didn't know what was going on. It was going on, you know, it was left, right, north, south, east, west. But it was a lot of fun. I thought Minnesota State, Mankato did an unbelievable job in putting the event on. Obviously, we were playing one of the, probably the best team in the country last year. And so anytime you can do that and play in a historic game is pretty fun.
And then lastly, you kind of touched on it here, but what have you seen from this group that excites you about where you could go by the end of the year?
Just, I think we've added some speed. We've added some skill. We've added depth. I think we're going to continue to get better in all facets of our game and our structure. So I think we have some pieces that are going to be, you know, the foundation for our program down the road, but also players that are going to continue to get better this year. And we'll be a much better team in January than we are right now, just because we're going to be together and doing things together. And ultimately that's the goal. You want to get better every day. And you know, I like our pieces down the middle. I like our pieces on D, our goaltending. So we've got a lot of good things going. We just got to continue to stay level-headed and work the process. One of the things that our culture is really kind of hanging our hat on is this obsession with our process. And we know the process takes different looks every day. One day might look like we're going in a certain direction and then we have to pivot, and that's okay too. And that's still a part of the process. And I think everybody's accepting that and willing to work for it, because there is no substitute for hard work. So that's first and foremost. And then being good teammates, good people on and off the ice. I feel like we have that in place, and you know, we'll see what happens when, you know, as the season wears on here, but we're certainly excited about what we have.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CCHA Show. For stories, scores, stats, and more, visit ccha.com.